for me. And I like that because then it's not me, it's him. And even in the songs that people were singing today, and the Lord just moves by his Holy Spirit and just helps us. So hope has been my word for many years. So if you come into my home, you will see hope. This is the one that you'll see right when you come into my front door. Then you will go into the dining room table and there will be hope on the wall. I have Christmas decorations with hope. I have a coaster. I don't drink coffee, but I have a coaster with the word hope because someone knew I loved that word. And up until about 4 weeks ago, I wore a ring for many years with the word hope on it. So you would think that by now I would have it all down, right? That we'd be, oh, we would just never lose our hope. But I want to be honest with you. I have those words hope all over to remind me. To remind me that we have hope in the darkest times and that we can fix our eyes on that hope. And it's an everyday thing. And so today I'm speaking to myself as I share with you that we would realize once again the hope that we have in him. And we must choose to ponder on that word hope. We must focus on hope even though when like 2020 just happened or what our country is going through right now. It's easy to focus there and not focus on our hope. And so one of my daughters, I have four beautiful daughters, two are with me here today, had a scribbled in her handwriting on the counter, "What do I actively want to invite into my life?" Question mark. I thought, that is really good. I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that. So what do we want to actively invite into our lives today? So let us actively invite hope into our lives. The hope verse on my wall is Romans 15, 13. And Chris is going to put it up here for us. Just the ones with and we're going to say it together. It's going to be up here four different times. And every time that I look at it, I pick for that day what I want to apply to my life. And it's a really good way to meditate on scripture as well. So we're going to start with the first one. And where it's yellow, we're going to say it bolder, okay? So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So even that could preach. Just that one verse can preach, and we can break it down. But today I want to focus on hope. And so what is hope? I looked at Google. That's what we do now, right? I got that down. And so it said, a feeling of expectation of or desire for something to happen. So as a Christian, something you're expecting, a desire, and it's like, heaven, I want heaven. And then they go on, Google says, a person or thing that may help or someone to save. I thought, that's really good. Jesus. Grounds for believing that something good may happen. Biblical prophecy that it's going to happen. A feeling of trust, not just unfounded wishful thinking. So it's like, thank you, Google. That was a good definition for hope. So that brings us to point one in our bulletins. And I'm one of those people that I hate missing one of those words. It's like, okay, Pastor Brett was. So you're going to get it all right here. Point number one, the hope of the believer. We have hope in the salvation in Christ. We have hope in his return. And we have hope of heaven. So we have these hopes. And we need to meditate on these unchanging truths, and we need to hang them on our walls. We need to place them where we can see. We can focus on them to remind us to focus our eyes and turn our eyes on them. And we have hope. I have hope if I would die today that I would spend eternity with Christ, that eternal hope. We have hope in salvation. We have hope in God's Son who came to earth. We just celebrated Christmas, lived a holy life, died on a cross, which is Easter, and rose again. And this is why we celebrate these milestones in the year. The hope of Christmas, the true hope of Christmas, the true hope of Easter, that he died, he rose again, but that we will see him again, that he is coming again. And I love how he prophesies things in the Bible, and that they come to the various small details come to pass. Like, okay, they're from Nazareth, but he's going to be born in Bethlehem? It's like, how did God know that? Well, it was easy. He's God. He knew that yes, they would be from Nazareth, but the baby would actually come when she was in Bethlehem. So I love that. And we have hope in the deep love of God. So as growing up in the church, you sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Let's sing that together. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. That he truly loves us. That we have the hope of his love. And it says it right there in John 3:16. I didn't think I gave this one to you, Chris, so it's not in there. But we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The hope of his love, the hope of salvation. We also have the hope of the rapture of the saints and the triumphal return. So a few years ago, I think Kaylee was in fifth grade when I taught this badge to 28 girls on a Wednesday night in Missionettes, and it was the end times badge. And so 4 weeks we talked about the millennial reign, the rapture, the things that will come to pass in the end times. And after, you know, each week we'd talk about it, and it could be something fearful, but we would just say, when that trumpet sounds, remember, I'm out of here. And we would do that every week. When that trumpet sounds, I'm out of here. And that's what we can know in our hearts, that when God comes, when that trumpet sounds, we are out of here. So in that badge, we learned that Jesus is going to come. We have that hope that he's going to rule and reign here for 1,000 years, where there's going to be peace and no conflict. We have hope of the end of the devil's torment. I love that one. I love it. I can't wait to live somewhere for eternity where we're not always facing that spiritual warfare. We have hope in heaven, our eternal hope, where there is no more tears, no more sickness, no more Satan. And so if you were doing the Bible reading with the ladies chasing truth this year, the last devotion and the last reading brought us to the conclusion of both the Old and the New Testament at the same time. And though they were written centuries apart, here again is detail. Both concluded by giving us hope for the future. Both of them. The Old Testament points to heaven. The New Testament points to heaven, our eternal hope. So we as believers, so if you agree with me, say yes, okay? I'm going to say, I have hope in, and then you're going to say yes, okay? I have hope of the rapture of the church. I have hope of heaven. I have hope in Jesus' second coming. I believe the devil will be cast into hell forever someday. And that I believe in the unending love of God for us. So we can say that. We say it, yes, 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 right? But sometimes our head and our heart don't agree. We can, yes, I know Jesus is coming soon. Yes, I know the devil's going to be bound and thrown into the pit. But in our daily lives, we forget that, and it doesn't hit our heart. So we're going to go to point two, and it's lost hope. And we can all quote, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future." And please know that God does have great plans for you, and he has hope, and our future is in heaven also. But do you know that the devil has plans for you too? And he has plans to give you hopelessness and to steal your future. That's what his game is. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to lose your faith, and he wants you to lose your hope. Satan fights dirty. He fights dirty. He's not fair. He has no heart. He is not your friend. And Satan will kick you even when you're down. I have a friend that's going through some difficult times. She lost her husband, and now she's just been diagnosed with her third bout of cancer. And even in that, she can have hope in God. So Pastor Brent last week, here's a test for you. He had 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And Pastor Brent gave us 4 points, 2 in that, and we'll touch those in a second. But he has arrows aimed at us. Satan knows if he can defeat us, divide us, and make us doubt our faith, we lose sight of our hope. We don't lose hope. We lose sight of it. We are then rendered ineffective to the world around us. I told you at the beginning that I lost, I wore a ring with hope on it. And I bought this ring about 19 years ago, and I liked it because it was my word, hope, and I had it, and I wore it on my thumb. And, you know, the word was, it was silver, and it had the word hope on there. And after 19 years, some of the letters started to fade. You know, I'd look and like, oh, wow, that H is almost gone, or, ooh, that E is almost gone. But I would rub my finger, or when I'm typing, or when I was doing things, I could always see the word hope. And it would fade little by little. And when Jim passed away almost 5 years ago, crazy, huh? I put his ring on. Then I put hope on. And I wore it like that for a while. Then after a while, I moved the hope to my wedding ring so that when I felt lonely or sad, that hope was there. I know where he is. He's in heaven. And I know someday that I will be there. And so I would still have that hope. That word was with me. Well, about 4 weeks ago, I was raking the last of the leaves of the season, and I put the 11 bags, 11 final bags out on the curb, and it's like, oh, my ring's gone. So I lost it in the leaves. So I took the bag, and I dumped them out on the back porch, and I'm going through all these leaves. And I thought, I'm going to just leave the leaves there all night long, and the wind can blow it away, and that ring's heavy enough. It's going to be there in the morning. It wasn't. And so I just sat there, and I cried. I lost hope. I lost my hope. And I just sat there, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, Christy, you haven't lost your hope. You lost your ring. But you did not lose hope. And you know what? Nothing and no one can take our eternal hope away from us. No one. Or that joy in his presence. And life happens to all of us. We all have stories we can share. And we all have things that wear away at our hope. And we sometimes feel like we have lost hope. But then there's sometimes when hope falls off the wall. Not just the wearing away. So the one that's in my living room where it has the Romans 15:13, Amy's mom has it on her wall too. That's where I saw it several years ago too. And I said, I want one. Where'd you get it? And I went out and I bought it, put it on my wall. I came home and literally, I don't know how, but it was on the floor. And it's like, ah, my hope just crashed right to the floor. But there again, we don't lose our hope. But some of the things that can wear out our hope, untimely death. Recently, my friend lost her son-in-law to an untimely death just right before the holidays. Like I said, I had three friends that dealt with cancer last year. I have two friends that are dealing with cancer right now. COVID, 2020, right? When it was supposed to be perfect vision. That's when Kaylee was supposed to graduate, 2020, where we see everything clearly. It's like, COVID. So there was isolation. There was unrest. We are in a time where our country is divided. And then there is injustices and there is evil. And there is fear. And I heard someone say last week, the only thing stronger than fear is hope. So I love that, because then the Lord's like, okay, that, you chose the right thing. Yeah, okay. Some of us are dealing with loneliness or worry or failure or lies. We listen to the devil's lies. Sometimes wrong friends can wear away at our hope. Deception, disappointment. How about bills? How about cost of living? How about taxes? It's January. Harm to our children or the future of our children or the unknown new year. So I want to ask you, what is wearing away at your hope? Can you pinpoint it? Sometimes if we can pinpoint it, we can name it, we can bring it before the Lord, and he works on it more specifically. So do you remember the poster of the cat, hang on baby, and the cat little kitties hanging on that knot at the end of the rope? The Bible encourages us in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So the Lord is encouraging us to hang on, to hold on, to post it, to remind yourself of it. We need to hold on even more as we see his return drawing near. Remember, as we face end times, you might think the world is falling apart. But as believers, we know by what is happening, the world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. You know, we can get discouraged, but it's prophesied. Even to the littlest details, what's going to happen, to be prepared, to be ready, so that we have that hope. And may the Lord help us to wait without weariness. Sometimes I get weary. Do you ever get weary? And complacent? That's another word that just kept coming. So many of us are becoming complacent, you know. Well, it will happen, but we can't worry. We can't be complacent. And so how do we do this? And so here's our test. One is to stand. Anybody know Pastor Brent's 4 points? He threw in a fourth one lately. He's been doing that instead of three. Perfect message is 3 points. His is four sometimes. So he said stand last week, that we need to be prepared. We need to be strategic. We need to be prayerful, and we need to be alert. We also need to cry out. And so I was reading through the Bible, and I was reading through Jeremiah when we came to that, and it struck me by all of the R's. If you read through Jeremiah, write down all of the R's in that chapter or that book, and it tells us to remember. Remember what the Lord has done. Return. Return to what you know is true. Repent. And so then when we do that, we will be renewed, we will be restored, we will be revived in our hope. So Jeremiah is a good one. Maybe we'll preach on that sometime. So let God sweep away that debris. Let God in this new year take away the chains. And it's time to stop being complacent, and it's time to be victorious warriors. That we are going to stand. So he said put on the armor last week also. I did a study with a group of ladies, and I taught this badge to the kids, and we would have relay races. They had to run up, put on the hat, run back, put on the shield, run back. And so a friend of mine made this for me, and it's not my personality, but it's such detail, and it's so fun. And we need to remember to put on that helmet of salvation and that breastplate of life and dress ourselves in his armor every day. That's how we come against that discouragement and that hope. Are the lack of hope. And so, but when I was teaching it, I said, you know, when we have babies, Lizzie, babies can't dress themselves, right? So as moms, when you're dressing them physically, dress them spiritually. Put on that helmet. Lord, I pray over my child. I put on that breastplate of light and that truth and that peace and that sword and shield. And you know what? When they're older and they're not doing that for themselves, you still can do it. You can still say, Lord, I dress her today in the armor of God. And nothing can steal her or snatch them away. So we can do that. We can dig deep in the Word. I have a book, The 100 Verses You Should Know. Have you heard of that book? And it breaks down 100 great verses. And right now it's cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And it says cast your cares, personalize it on him, for he cares for you. Pray. Pray with a friend. Worship. I have one friend that's going through cancer, and the Lord just said praise. That's what she's doing right now, just praising, just praising. I listen to Bot Radio almost every day, feeding my mind with the hopeful things, and that's a great thing we can do. We need to remember it, like I said, what he's already done. I think that was the biggest thing when Jim passed. I would worry like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. But then I would begin to recall all of the things that he's done in the past and the perfect timing of things that, like, again, he's in the details. And he would remind me. So in the Old Testament, every time they forgot and they didn't remember, that's when they would fall away. So we need to remember. We need to call a friend. I was a little bit nervous about speaking today, so I called 7 friends. Just pray for me. Just pray for me. Read inspirational stories. Sometimes people focus on the negative and read things that are discouraging. But let's get the little books that remind us. Do something for somebody else. And someone challenged me this week to dance, just in his presence. And so God of hope wants to be there. And it goes back to Romans 15:13. The God of hope, fill me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Fill me again today. Fill me afresh. Just fill me. Spending time in his presence. And so this week, as I decided not to watch TV. So the song that came to me is, In the Presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, in the presence of the King. So when we remember, when we choose to be in his presence, God is longing for us to come to him, to be refreshed, to be filled. You know, life knocks us down and it gives us bruises, but we can use that to comfort others. And when they see our scars and they see how God has been with us and God has healed us, they will ask us, how did you do it? So you can answer by faith, by hope that I have in Christ. And so let God renew our hope. So if you're in that lost hope stage, let's do all that. Let's cultivate it. Let's let God fill us so that, number 3, we can bring hope to those around us and be that agent of hope. You know, it is never too late for hope. It's not too late for individuals. If you can think of someone, it's not too late for them. It's not too late for our country. It really isn't. God is on the throne. He is in control, and he can turn things around so quickly. Just even reading in the Old Testament, he would change things in a day. And so there is still hope. And we need to be ready to point people to hope that we have. Romans 15:13. Hopefully we'll have this memorized soon. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow. This is the overflow one. We sang it this morning, overflow. We can't pour out until we're overflowed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, but in your hearts, revere God as Lord, meaning a deep respect and admiration. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I love that one too. People around us may ask us, how do we do it? And we point them to Christ because without him we can't. I can't face tomorrow or today without him, and neither can they. And so my heart aches for our lost. I ask myself so many times, how do people go through the things that they do without him? You know, we worry, we have things, but I think, how do they get through it without that hope? Or how are they going to deal with the end times? And if we think COVID is bad, read Revelations. It can be scary. And the tribulation. And I want everybody, like the girls that I taught that badge, not to say, oh no, Jesus is coming soon. Oh no, the tribulation. But to say, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I want everybody to be saying, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I have God. I have salvation. I have that hope. I am not going to be here. I am out of here. So when the trumpet sounds, they can say it too. I'm out of here. And we should want everyone to know that. That is the Great Commission, to go and to tell and to share our hope that we have inside. I saw an end-of-the-year documentary as I was at one of my patients this week, and it was going through all of the people that have died this year. And as their faces scrolled on the TV, in my heart, it's just like, did they make it to heaven? I do that all the time. I always think, did they make it to heaven? Was their name written in the book of life? And we know what they did here on earth, but is their name written in the book of life? And at Christmas, we all know the song about Santa. He's checking and making a list, checking it twice, good to see who's naughty or nice. God has a list, and it's the most important list of all, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to open it and he's going to scroll down, and is my name there? And I can say, yes, I have that hope. But we want everybody to, is their name there? Is it? Yes, their name's there. And we can share that hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of heaven, the hope of the cross. And we should be concerned. Lord, help us to be concerned for those that don't know. And God wants no one to perish. And people are hungry out there, very hungry, very disillusioned. And they try to fill their lives with everything, but they don't have that happiness or that fulfillment or that satisfaction because they forgot to look for it with God. And one pastor shared that many people choose to set a sedative rather than the Savior. And I thought, that's good. A lot of people try to sedate themselves, be it drinking or drugs or relationships or immorality or food. That one is mine. Or I want to watch TV because I don't want to think anymore. And we sedate our feelings and our emotions. And people around us are like parched land, and that their lives are dry. And there's dread, there's disillusionment, there's disappointment. And we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be overflowing so that our lives can flow into the deepest, driest, darkest lives, and we can bring refreshing and hope. Jesus alone is the answer for our families, for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for America. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one that can satisfy. And so we need to be a river of revival. Let that be us today. Let us be that river of revival. Let us be filled. Let us overflow to the people around us, to those dry areas. So our lives reflect Christ and the life-transforming hope we have in him. Hope of salvation, hope of heaven, hope of his return. And that all of us can say, I'm out of here. And so I'm going to finish with a video of my granddaughter. She is standing in my kitchen one day with one of her many beautiful dresses that she loves. And this one has jewels all over on the front. And she's walking in the sun and it hits. And her dress, it hits her dress perfectly, and the reflection hits the wall. And she looks at it, like, what is this? And then she moves a bit, and then the sun's not shining on it, you'll see in here. And then it doesn't shine. The reflection's not there anymore. But then she moves back into the light, and then she begins to see it. And she begins to twirl, and she begins to dance, and a little bit shyly at first, and then she becomes more confident, and then she begins to spin and dance in the light. And the beauty of the reflection is so amazing to watch. But as you watch it, I want you to prayerfully say, Lord, am I standing in the light? Have I moved out of that? Am I still reflecting God's glory to the world around me? Am I in his presence daily? How about the jewels that she has on her dresses? Do you know you guys all have jewels? You all have talents. You all have abilities. And when you are in the light, God uses that to do amazing things around us. That we begin to be that light and that glory that shines so that people can see him and have that hope. And we might be shy at first, but when we figure it out, we just like, you know, let's share that hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of his return, to be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can share it with others and have that glory in us. And so today, maybe you're here today and you're watching online and you have never experienced the hope of salvation. And that you know that your name's not written in the book of life. And that if the trumpet would sound today, would you be able to say, I'm out of here? But you know what? It's as simple as ABC. That's another thing I taught with the kids. Admit I am a sinner. And that the wages of sin is death. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And confess with your mouth that he is Lord, that you will be saved. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I have lost my hope. Maybe I've lost the sight of my hope, but I haven't completely lost hope. And something has been wearing away at your hope, but God wants to touch that and revive it and heal it and fill you and restore you so that you can bring hope. And then the third, maybe you need boldness today. That the Lord would help you to be bold and to share that with those around you. So back to Romans 15:13. You got it yet? Eyes closed? But may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So picture yourself today. As a little girl, as a little boy, as a child of God, in the light of God. Let him fill you right now with that fresh hope of heaven, that fresh hope of his presence. See yourself begin to dance in his presence. And just receive him. And Lord, right now, I just pray for anybody here that does not know you. Lord, let them trust in you today. Let them pray, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. And yes, I confess with my mouth that he is Lord, and I will be saved. And we thank you, Lord, for being our hope. For filling us, Lord, for restoring us, so that we can pour out, Lord, to the world around us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have the musicians come, and we're going to sing No Sweeter Name Than the Name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I've ever known. That he is the light in the darkness. So as you just, as we sing this together, just reflect that we do have hope, that if you've lost your hope, he's here to touch you. and that Lord, and that He wants us to share that hope with others. Lord, we thank You that You are our light and our hope, that we have hope of heaven. We have hope in salvation. We have hope in Your name. And we thank You today that You're here to touch us, to restore us, to fill us, so that we can go out and Your light shining in us, Lord, reflect Your glory to this broken world around us. Lord, empower us today anew. Fill us anew with Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, let us just dance in Your presence. Let us use our gifts and our abilities to bless others, that You may receive the glory. And we praise You, Lord, today. We pray that You would go with each and every one of us, knowing that we can say, when that trumpet sounds, we are out of here. And we want everybody to go with us. Jesus. Amen.
Have a great day, everybody. Encourage each other as you